I think we're all to blame. I think that the United States now has stepped forward along with Russia, and we're getting together, and we have a chance to do some great things.
All right, 808 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this primary runoff Tuesday. And by the way, too, I got the text from a buddy of mine, sent me a picture. He votes in Mobile County, and he showed me the new sticker in Mobile County.
He has one?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure he and I have the same polling place, too. So
nice.
The new complete violation of flag code, but the kind of swanky new I voted. I think it's hashtag voted sticker for the state of Alabama.
We know at least one campaign has worked, and that's your campaign to get the new stickers down here in South Alabama.
Yes, that campaign has worked, even though it was in violation of my theories about flag code. But hey, forget about it. That's for another show.
Did he happen to tell you about anything about the turnout thus far?
No, yeah, but I've been seeing folks talk about the turnout this morning, and it's been four and five people in line kind of stuff. So I know, and make sure everybody's still on the record.
That's
so
right.
So Kelly, you said you thought turnout today would be
22%.
Dalton, you said
12%,
and me with the positivity said 9%.
Hey everyone, polls are open. They opened at 7 a.m. and they close at 7 p.m. So plenty of time to zoom on over, especially if the lines aren't long.
Yes. By the way, too, what's up? What's up? You know, what's at stake here?
Yes.
Lunch.
Yeah.
So the winner
at Costco.
Yeah, the winner closest to the amount that person wins lunch from the other two.
But you can't go over. You have to be under. Is that what you're saying?
Let's just say closest, because we're also separated. In our amounts, it's not like anybody's very close here. So it's just closest to.
I can't wait to see the results.
All right, very good.
And happy National Emoji Day. Thank you for telling me about it. I just tweeted that out.
Yes, it's Emoji Day. So it is Emoji Day. I don't know what if you look at the commentary, like I said earlier, forget about what Democrats are saying about the president's presser with Putin yesterday. It's talking about the Republicans. If they had an emoji, there's a lot of Republicans out there, and not even you'd say, it's just your normal people there. Big swath of Republicans would give the frowny face emoji for the president's comments yesterday at that presser with Putin. With more on this, we're joined by Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the author of Mad Jones Heretic, and the follow-up. We're now two into the trilogy. What's the name of the new book?
Mad Jones Hero.
So we have those two out, and then coming soon, the third part of the trilogy.
Yes, indeed. But the first two are out, Mad Jones Heretic and Mad Jones Hero. And Mad Jones Hero, I've just got to say, if you're into really busting the chops of fake news, the climax of Mad Jones Hero is all about fake news. So there.
All right.
Good stuff.
Check it out, and available, if Amazon's not crashed, you can get it over there.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Amazon.com.
So your reaction, I did see your reaction yesterday on Twitter to this, but your reaction after yesterday's presser?
One word. Disgrace. The mind boggles at an American president going to meet the single most dangerous adversary in the world, and first tweeting out that the USA, his home country, his own country, has been foolish and stupid for years, quote, foolish and stupid, and saying that we're both to blame for bad relations with Russia, which is just categorically, demonstrably untrue, which I can go into. Let's just stop there, even before you get into the bizarrety of his answer about the Russian hacking, etc. When Barack Obama went abroad and apologized very specifically for things like slavery and civil rights abuses, my side of the aisle absolutely rightfully just had a cow, saying how dare he go abroad and do an apology tour apologizing for the United States and basically bowing and scraping and saying we're the bad guys. Well, what Donald Trump did yesterday was 10 times worse than anything Barack Obama ever did with his apology. Ten times worse. Barack Obama should not have done it, but at least he was accurate in saying that we had problems with civil rights, and he was accurate in saying that we had made some mistakes in how we conducted some foreign policy way back when, a little bit of the gunboat diplomacy, even though I happen to have liked most of the gunboat diplomacy. But he was at least referring to specific things and accurate. Donald Trump was not. Donald Trump said the USA, not Obama, not a past administration, the USA, his own country and his whole country, was foolish and stupid. Just a blanket condemnation for years, and that we were as much to blame as Russia for the bad relations. Now, when you go back and look at what everything Bill Clinton did when Russia fell, and he came in office about a year and a half later, to try to open up to Russia. When you see George W. Bush say that he looked into Putin's eyes and liked what he saw and tried to act accordingly. And then when you see Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton come in and say they're going to do a Russian reset, and again they tried to be nice to Russia, we went for decades, for 25 years after the fall of the Soviet Union, we again and again tried for good relations with them and were met with their bad actions. We did nothing wrong toward them, and they did everything wrong toward us and toward the whole world. We were not one bit at fault for the bad relations, and for Trump to say that is historically inaccurate, and it is absolutely despicable.
Let's do this, Quinn. Now, we'll run to the break here, come back, because I think there's some people that disagree with that, and we'll offer that take as well.
I'm here to disagree with what I just said factually, apart from the judgment that it's despicable.
Well, there's people factually that say that it's a tact, it's a negotiation tact. I don't know that I agree wholeheartedly with that, but I will definitely present their side of the case as well, and we'll bounce it around. Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
President Trump mentioned the issue of the so-called interference of Russia in the American elections, and I had to reiterate things I said several times, including during our personal contacts, that the Russian state has never interfered and is not going to interfere into internal American affairs, including election process.
Of course, the other part of that is when he refers to the reporter's distinguished colleague, which I think is the last thing you hear before you eat a polonium sandwich.
Distinguished colleague,
you will not make sundown.
Well, all that we heard yesterday, you have to wonder what happened in that private conversation, that two-hour conversation.
That's right, as the president comes out and talking about it right now. Quinn Hillier joining us. Quinn, I want to run down through some of the text here, because I want to make sure people's voices are heard here. Dink says you're way off base. Joe says, how do you let that somebody on your show, first thing he should have done was give the president credit for going over there. He's trying to build relationship with Putin, is a thug. Donald Trump knows. What do you want, Quinn? The president to legitimize the intelligence community attempt to illegally take down a duly elected president. and then I'm looking at somebody says, you need to be put on, let's see, on some type of anti-hate drugs. And another one here says, so we act strong to the weak and weak to the strong, textbook bully behavior. So some of the texts coming in here. I mean, your reaction yesterday sounds like, as I pointed out, the reaction of, forget what Chuck Schumer said, forget what the Democrats said, but you go down a long list. Even Laura Ingraham, who is a very strong supporter of President Trump, show comes on after this one. She was chastising, as was Newt Gingrich and Stuart Varney and some other names from Fox News.
Cavuto. You go down Brett Baer, you go down the list, even Fox News.
So,
I mean,
Yeah, so they're critiquing yesterday, but I'm looking from the time we started the show this morning, I started asking questions about this. I'd say 90% of the texts I've gotten are positive about what the president did yesterday.
I would just like to ask any of these texters if they were upset when Barack Obama went on his, actually it was two, quote, apology tours. If they were, and yet they support Trump, then they have serious problems with logical consistency, and that's putting it nicely. It is just a fact that, you know, that even though I totally disagreed with Obama doing it, that we did have slavery, we did have horrible civil rights violations, and even though it was not his place to bring them up abroad, he was referring to something specifically and accurately. It is a fact. It is an indisputable fact that that Donald Trump said that we were foolish and stupid, and that we were at fault, at least equally with Russia. And it is an indisputable fact that that is just that Russia was the malefactor for 25 years. It was Russia that has repeatedly killed all its enemies, poisoned them with polonium sandwiches, as you say. It is Russia that invaded Georgia. It is Russia that annexed Crimea. It is Russia that has funded Iran, which in turn has funded more international terrorism even than Al-Qaeda. It is Russia that has bombed our own allies in Syria. I mean, I can go down the list. Russia has supported every single rogue regime. This is the Russia under Putin, has supported every rogue regime, has financed terrorism, has had horrible human rights, has done, been the number one international actor in terms of effectiveness at opposing United States interests, period.
Quinn, another text we received, and I think a lot of people that back Trump from yesterday's performance probably feel the same way, said Trump's performance was a political sacrifice to begin repairing the damage that the former, and they use Soviet-loving Democrats, have caused between our countries. Is that possible? Is it possible that Trump maybe said these things yesterday in order to put, I don't know, a different kind of negotiation tactic out there to bring the two countries a little closer together politically?
How does it help repair the damage of formerly two pro-Russia administrations to be even more pro-Russia than they were? That logic doesn't follow. That logic doesn't follow. Look, 1 year ago, this very week, I wrote a column suggesting, it was sort of tongue-in-cheek, but only vaguely, sort of, that Trump should resign then, not because of, you know, any breaking any laws, but specifically because of his because we couldn't trust him dealing with Russia. What I said was, and now my machine has just frozen, but what I said was, we cannot trust Trump, President Trump, to act with wisdom, objectivity, and reasonable perspective when dealing with our most potentially dangerous adversary, Russia. And I went through the 30-year history of Trump kowtowing to Russia, going back to even before the Soviet Union had broken up, back when we were in Glasnost, trying to do business with them. His son in 2008 said, quote, a disproportionate share of their money, of their business, had to do with Russia. We see money pouring in from Russia, he said in 2008, and on and on and on. And then Trump, you watch his body language yesterday. Shoulders were slumped. He winked, you know, at Putin.
I think there's a lot, too much being put in that part of it. I would also argue, too, the people that said, well, Trump should have blasted Putin. You don't do that. When reporters ask questions and try to bring that out, I think that's a setup as well. I mean, decorum would dictate that you're, you know, I'm not talking about the essence of what he said, but, you know, how you respond to somebody, you're standing right there next to him.
Then if decorum is so important, why does he only act with such decorum when he's next to one of the worst international thugs on stage, but he doesn't act with that decorum when he's standing next to our allies and when he has just called our allies in Europe, even if they're wrong about a few things, our main foe?
But if you think that the whole world is upside down, then it makes sense. I want to read through a couple more texts. I want to make sure their voices are heard, and we'll take y'all's calls after 8:30. Dale says, Putin gave Trump a copy of Hillary's server. The neocons are scared because the alliance against the deep state is being solidified. This one, Obama's was a politician. Trump is a negotiator. Those are separate issues. Texter says Obama and Trump in Russia is not the same. Obama was apologizing for what we are, America's essence. Trump was stating the fact that our intelligence community is at fault, at least partially, for the breakdown in the two countries' relations.
Okay, how is our intelligence agencies, not the Justice Department? Your texter just said, or emailer just said, our intelligence agencies.
I'm just passing along their text.
Nobody ever said that our intelligence agencies were after Trump, unless you're talking about the intelligence portion of the Justice Department. None of that makes any sense. He literally said that he trusted Putin's denials above our intelligence agencies, the rank and file of our intelligence agencies, and his own appointee, Dan Coats. He said, well, I tend to believe Dan Coats, but... And then he goes on about how believable Putin is, basically saying he does not believe his own intelligence people and our intelligence agencies. That's just wrong. You don't do that on foreign soil, standing next to our foremost adversary.
All right. People want to continue this conversation. They're going to continue with us on the air here, come back from the break, but also they want to, because a lot of people seem want to offer thoughts to you, Quinn. Twitter, probably the best place for that?
Yeah, at Quinn Hillier on Twitter. I'm appalled that anybody would not be appalled.
There we go. Quinn, appreciate it, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you.
All right. Quinn Hill, you're joining us in the phones. Getting busy. So we'll come to you next at 343-0106, 343-0106. Let me offer this, too, though. I'm going to take your calls, and I want people to respond. But a lot of y'all, folks I don't know and folks I do know, saying, get Quinn Hillier off the line. Don't let him on the show. Put the music down. Put the music down. Are you scared of somebody offering another opinion because you can't counter it? Doesn't mean I agree with what he's saying at every turn, but if you're scared of another opinion, it's not a good sign for you.
You know, diversity is a beautiful thing. Diversity of thought included.
Yeah, so you can win
well.
Your argument. Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 8:36 now here on FM Talk 106.5, and it is time to head over to McConnell Automotive, talk to the sales manager, Brian Gardner. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Dalton.
Tell me what's going on at McConnell Automotive today.
Hey, lots of great things. You know, the percent play is back. We've talked about it the last several days, and this is only for this month of July, that the percent play has come back. And we love it when this comes around because it's easy to do math. That's anytime you start doing percent off MSRP, I'm in because I can figure it out myself. We've got 18% off Buick Encore. Going to get that Encore down to around $20,000. That's a fantastic price point. On that, also the all-new Buick Enclave at 12% off. Another great deal there. That's the all-new 2018 Buick Enclave. We got about 10 of those in stock to show you. And don't forget about GMC Sierra. We've still got them. Got great inventory levels, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, crew cab, whatever you're looking for, whatever trim, color. We've probably got it in stock. You got 13% off MSRP plus another 2% off that if you finance with us through GM. Financial. Also have a 15% off GMC Terrain SLE. That's another great price point. That's going to get you in the 20s on that. Get by and see us before 7 o'clock. Percent play is back. Where y'all been? Come by and see us.
Thanks, Brian. Have a great day.
Bye, guys.
That's Brian Gardner. You can go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, and with that opens up one of the phone lines now, so you could hop back in. Those have been trying to get on and talk about what happened yesterday as President Trump and Putin had their little presser after the meeting. And once again, I mean, you could go down the list of things that the Democrats said and Schumer said. That's boring. That's expected. I think what's of interest, not just in if you go down and say, well, what John McCain said or Flank or Corker, listen, they're going to be opposed to whatever Trump does. So I discount all that stuff, put that on the cutting room floor, and get to the ones that got my attention. And people like Newt Gingrich, Laura Ingraham from over at Fox News, Stuart Varney, Neil Cavuto. You've got also Trish Regan, Britt Hume, all critiquing the president's commentary yesterday. And lots of text here, too, and I'm trying to get to as many of those as I can as well. Go to the phones first, though. Mike is in beautiful downtown Brooklyn. Are you right there at the end of the runway, or where are you, Mike?
Keeping them flying, babe. That's where I'm at. Close to the flight line and near the signature of FBO.
All right, very good.
Listen, what I wanted to let you know, and I come here with malice towards none. I come in peace.
Okay.
But I do want to say, and I don't have a unique perspective, you know, but I've worked in intelligence, both civilian and military, and I can tell you information, like statistics, can be skewed to mean whatever it needs to mean. All I wanted to say, not about the other people and their criticisms, because any criticism is just, but the reason why I don't have a problem with what Trump said, Trump is speaking from, Trump's, part of his success is he speaks from the heart. And I personally don't think that he's taking Putin's side, that he's going to roll over, that he's going to be weak, but I felt that he was choosing his battles, and he's not going to come out the gate during a peaceful, and this was already covered by other pundits. I do want to say this. He's angry at the intelligence communities, mm-hmm. and I don't blame him. So, you know, under the current circumstances, so why is he going to give gravitas and aid and comfort to those people that I believe there's a deep state conspiracy? He wants to legitimize those who seek to delegitimize his very election, and that's why I think that his speech was geared towards them.
He was using, Mike, would you say he's using Putin kind of as a foil or a catalyst for an argument back stateside?
Not Putin himself, but using the Helsinki summit and the import of that meeting where all the media are covering it to lash back out at them.
Interesting. Mike, appreciate the call. Let's go to the Cantaloupe Man, my buddy Buck in Hurley. Hey, Buck.
He's seen that thing, huh?
Oh, man. Yeah, cantaloupe's fantastic. I don't get to garden like I used to, but I live vicariously through your Facebook page and your gardening, so I'm jealous. That's an awesome-looking cantaloupe, man.
Yeah, it was good. So I agree with a large percentage of what Mike just said. I mean, he's right. It probably wasn't the best use of words, but Trump has said things like this in the past where you're like, oh, God, that wasn't very good. But then on the backside of it, once it's looked at, you see it from his perspective, it makes sense. Now, with that being said, we all misspeak. I want to say a couple of weeks ago when I was on your show, I misspoke about the refugee kids. That was probably the worst phone call I've ever had come into your show, and you critique yourself on the backside of things. And I said, man, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said that differently. I'm sure as much as you're on the air, you say things that you wish probably that you wouldn't have or you could have done it better. Right?
Yeah, minute-by-minute basis, really. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, especially when you're thrust out there, you're alive, you're in front of all these people. Nobody's going to speak perfectly every time. And, of course, you're going to have those people like Mr. Hilliard, who's a never-Trumper, going to beat him. President Trump could cure cancer, and Hilliard would have something negative to say about it. I can't believe he did that.
There you go. Buck, I appreciate the call, man. Let's go to Kerry in Baldwin County. Hey, Kerry.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Doing good, man. So what's your take?
My take is like this. I've been married for about, 42 years, but to two different women.
Okay.
And I took the high road. I apologized to them.
What, for being married to you?
Then I told them that that was Barack Obama apologizing, okay?
Okay.
Now, Trump comes along and he says, we both have done things wrong.
And
then
so
you do a fresh start. Now, for the past 5 years, I have been in the same house at the same time with both my ex-wives.
And you survived?
I survived because I took the high road. I apologized to them. Then I said, we're both at fault. Let's quit nitpicking. We've got kids to raise, grandkids. the grandkids represent the people of Russia and the people of the United States.
And so, I hear what you're saying. The analogy you're working with, it is an olive branch offered to move the conversation forward.
We do not know what was going on in the closed meeting. That's their business. But when they came out and said we were both at fault, hey, that's a new beginning.
Can we get our partner there, our spouse Putin, to say the same thing?
Hey, he agreed to it.
He needs to go to solo counseling.
Said it, but it was said. Like I said, we don't know what went on in the meeting. Because if you think about it, you go back to World War II, who was our ally?
Sure. By default, though. I mean, yes, but we were. I mean, we both had a front, and I would have taken our front more than their front. That's a
but
untold
we
story.
had differences, didn't we?
Yes. I mean,
okay.
You know, Stalin almost threw in with the Nazis.
We've been going through this thing for a long time. And now here we are yesterday. We are both at fault.
There we go. Hey, Carrie, interesting call. Interesting, different take. I like where you're going. Instead of just saying, you know, everybody stinks and I'm taking my toys and going home, yeah. There's an interesting way to express your opinion.
From a visual standpoint, yeah. But there's one thing that he didn't touch on, which is you don't take your family business and tell everybody outside the home.
Right.
Okay, and so going to another country and saying we're both at fault instead of pointing the finger at the person who's next to you, this wasn't about what we did as a nation. It was about the wrongdoings that Russia has done and that we wanted to know more about. So I agree with, I like his analogy about the kids are the priority, the family's priority, but you keep family business within your house. You don't take that out to the streets.
All right, get more of your calls here. And I don't have the text right in front of me, but somebody's saying to the... Oh, here it is. All the negative comments from Trump's supposed allies just shows their true colors. Trump is a master at getting people to reveal themselves. I got to take umbrage with that you can't disagree. And maybe it's because, you know, I reflect that. I think I, you know, just give you my opinion, a fair opinion. It's not 100% that everything Trump does is perfect. I worry about that no matter where you are on the political spectrum. It happened during the Obama years so many times, mm-hmm. and people just, no matter what he did, it was perfect. I said, how can you think everything another human being, not God,
right,
a fallible human being, everything's perfect? And I'm not saying this individual case, but the fact that, you know, Newt Gingrich, you're now saying because he had something, or Laura Ingraham, they're not true allies of Trump? Come on. They can express differences in opinion.
And I think if you think with your heart and you don't get caught up in a party affiliation, you have to give credit where credit's due. I mean, we're making major, inroads in a discussion.
Stuff's moving.
And you cannot be remiss and not acknowledge that. That's but true. Now that we're there, we want it done a certain way. And that's why other people are chiming in.
Garrett is in Mobile up next. Hey, Garrett.
Hey, Sean.
Hey.
Hey. So, I kind of wanted to chime in here. I got kind of an interesting perspective on this. The main issue that I have as far as what Trump said, I do believe that he did misspeak. Not just misspeak, but I think he has an end goal that's really more non-political. What a lot of people really don't realize is, you know, Russia is one of the richest countries as far as oil and also iron ore.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, that's also where one of the, you know, mass starvations in the world was at. So, you know, I can see where he definitely wants to try to make some geopolitical, you know, moves here to try to just basically make money off of them, try to make some, you know, some type of deal.
So, wait, you think this is all part...
Bring it back into the G8.
Yeah, you're thinking, Garrett, that this is part of a business deal? That everything that happened yesterday?
I think that's part of it. I don't think that's 100%.
You don't think it's his pushback against the intelligence community that he feels like is attacking him back stateside?
Sure, yeah. I mean, like I said, I believe that's part of it. But what we also... I mean, I'm just saying that we also have to bring into account that you're talking about a country with major natural resources as well.
Sure.
So, and that goes the same with North Korea. I understand Quinn Hilliard's point there. But if he's going to stand next to Kim Jong Un, who's a mass murderer, and call him a strong leader, I mean, there's got to be an end goal that's more than just being apolitical, or more than just trying to strike back at his own community.
Hey, good point, Garrett. I mean, if you do frame that people that were shocked yesterday who were standing next to Putin, I mean, if you look at the sliding scale of dictators that you'll stand next to, I mean, once, you know, you do that part to try to negotiate and you meet with somebody like the North Koreans, then Russians are, I think, way down that list. We'll
just
get your comments.
Just make sure you bring a soccer ball.
That's right. 853 FM Talk 106.5. Come to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. You know, unload on this. You can do it right now. Take your calls. And also, I want to talk about what's new in the Finley family, the newest addition, the newest monster.
Yeah, not a new baby.
No, it's an unnamed new addition.
Yeah, you know, he's so beautiful. He's like the color of Twizzlers. I love Twizzlers. Just I want you to think about that. Yes. Yeah. This is the CX-9 Touring. And if that sounds familiar, I had it earlier in our driving experience. I had a CX-9 Grand Touring. And what I'm doing is showing you the different features and levels based on, you know, what's best for your family. So you have different options. And so this vehicle is just magnificent. Seat 7, but get this, it still can go into sport mode if you need to ramp up the speed and get to where you're going a little bit quicker. This vehicle has spacious leg room. We always talk about how long our children are and the different play dates that they like to participate on, or just being the chauffeur/taxi that we are called parents. Loving the multiple cup holders, of course, and that means there's tons of jacks for them to be able to plug in their electronics. And with all Mazda vehicles that I've been driving, I mean, safety is key. You have your sensors on the left and right to you, so if someone is getting too close to your lane, or perhaps you're kind of drifting over, this vehicle lets you know. You can balance out the volume when it comes to your alerts, and also that backup camera allows you to see what's behind you, because we know during the summertime, especially driving, this is an SUV, so you may not be able to see, you know, little people who are running around during the summertime, so this allows you to be safe in your neighborhood. Maybe if you're going to your next party, you want to be sure that you, yes, look good, but you're also keeping everyone inside the vehicle safe, as well as those around you. So if you like more information, of course, you can hop online, and also go visit our friends over at the all-new Dean McCurry Mazda. They're located on the East Service Road of I-65, which we continue to tell you has the largest American flag in the state of Alabama. So you cannot miss them. They'd love to talk to you and talk all things Mazda. And help me name him, please.
There we go.
I need to know.
Well, you don't want B, because you know it'll be...
Just think Twizzlers.
Mazda McMazda face or something like that. You know, something like that. Something, you know, you don't let the web ever name something. But we'll work on that. All right. We'll work on the go on the phone lines as well. And Wayne in downtown Satsuma checks in next. Hey, Wayne.
Good morning.
Morning.
Just wanted to let y'all know in regards to the topic this morning. You know, I really appreciate the fact that, you know, Sean, on your program... you know, you actually, on this issue and virtually all issues, typically what you do is you let the people know that, you know, what you state is your opinion. And that's really the biggest problem I have with Mr. Hillier, is when he comes on this show, he has the opportunity to use that forum, you know, to state his opinion. And that's great. I appreciate the fact that he's got an opinion, but it's not always right. And he states it as a matter of fact instead of his opinion. And I would just remind everybody that listens to this show, because, you know, if you remember back during the campaign, it was Quinn Hillier that told us that Trump was a puppet of Hillary Clinton. So, Mr. Hillier, you need to check your facts a little bit occasionally. And I would encourage you to have the professionalism that's demonstrated by the people that run this show.
Well, I appreciate that, Wayne. Thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, I think what Wayne's saying is what I was trying to say earlier at the bottom of the hour. People get mad that I have somebody on that has an opinion they disagree with. Y'all, that's the way this works. This is to, you know, there are plenty of other shows that are just straight echo chamber. Listen, I'm a conservative guy. I make no bones about it. But I can only tell you what my opinion is on things. And I will have people on here all the time that disagree with me, that think I'm crazy. That's good. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of other opinions.
I love disagreement. One of my favorite things.
Yes.
One thing.
I don't.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that. But yesterday, I think a lot of people saying that Trump showed completely no spine during that press conference. There was a part of it where he actually, you know, stood up to Putin standing right next to him. That's when they were talking about that pipeline going into Germany, that Germany signed this deal with Russia to supply oil. And Trump, you know, he actually stood up there and he said, we're going to compete. We're going to compete as hard as we can against Russia to get our oil into as many parts of the world as we can. I don't think he kowtowed to Putin the entire time. I think that was one of the times where he actually stood up.
You mean something may be actually gray and not black and white? Well, my colleague.
My dearest colleague.
Dearest colleague.
Oh, boy.
All right. We'll pick
Happy voting, everyone.
That's right.
Vote, vote.
And we'll pick this conversation up again at noon today for Midday Mobile. Plus, we'll, I think, let me look at my phone, if they text it back from over there, take you to Farnborough.
Mm-hmm.
Farnborough Palooza, the air show over there.
Yeah.
What's the Mobile contingent up to? We'll talk about that
Zoom.
As well. Y'all have a good one. Laura Ingraham next.